Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 4,513. Ector County negative, 21,262 out of 26,128 tested, with 353 pending, 90 deaths. Recovered, 3,825. Active, 598. Midland County, 3,469 confirmed with 77 deaths. Texas, 668,746 confirmed with 5,247,542 tested. Total Texas deaths, 14,343. U.S. cases, 6,537,627 total confirmed and 194,092 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us. ECISD reports two new COVID cases. Ector County ISD reported two new COVID-19 cases Tuesday. They include one student at Burleson Elementary and one employee at Nimitz Middle School. Quick hits. Oktoberfest. The Downtown Midland Management District and Energy-related properties will present Oktoberfest, the Beer, Sausage, and Pretzel Festival, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday at Downtown Midland, 303 West Wall Street, Midland. The event includes sausages, traditional Oktoberfest treats, beer, live music, Oktoberfest-themed games, competitions, prizes, giveaways, and more. General admission is $35. To volunteer, for tickets, sponsorship opportunities, or information, email okterfest@livethecity.com or visit tinyurl.com/y2ewgeo2. Free online courses. Latina Entrepreneur Academy in the Permian Basin has scheduled free virtual classes from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. September 21st through 25th. Topics include laws of growth, create a business plan, and tips and tricks. The course also includes a certificate at the end of the course, a review of your business plan, and giveaway stipend startup money for your business, free life coach books, and a chance to receive free incorporation for your business and QuickBooks Desktop Pro 2020. Register at bit.ly/2RHPBZR. For more information, call Teresa Servin at 432-214-5413 or visit www.facebook.com/Latina Entrepreneur Academy. Veterans Legal Clinic. Legal Aid of Northwest Texas has scheduled a free virtual legal clinic from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. September 25th. The clinic is for veterans needing legal advice in civil matters, such as bankruptcy, consumer law, debt harassment, and family law. The clinic is not for criminal cases. Appointments are required. To schedule an appointment or for more information, call Pete Fierro at 332-1207, extension 4511. CMN Radiothon. LaLay 104.7 FM has scheduled its annual Children's Miracle Network Radiothon, a two-day airing that will benefit the Children's Miracle Network at Medical Center Health System. The Radiothon will run from 6 a.m. to noon Thursday and Friday. Listeners can tune in to LaLay 104.7 FM and donate by calling 800-234-6217. LaLay 104.7 FM will encourage listeners to make a donation to help kids treated at MCHS. Donations can be made at any amount or as a monthly donation. 100% of the funds raised from the Radiothon will directly benefit the NICU and pediatric units at Medical Center Health System. It will be used to buy life-saving equipment, specialized training for staff to better serve patients, and research to help future patients. Last year, the Radiothon raised more than $100,000 for CMN at MCHS. Exhibition. Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled a comic exhibition. Bam! It's a Picture Book, The Art Behind Graphic Novels, on loan from the National Center for Children's Illustrated Literature through November 8th. The exhibition features some of today's leading and most graphic novelists of the illustration world. Mark Criley, Matthew Holm, Jarrett J. Krasokia, Lincoln Pierce, and Raina Telemeyer. Admission is free. Museum hours are from noon to 5 p.m. Monday through Sunday and noon to 8 p.m. Thursdays. For more information, call Ashley Flores at 432-550-9696, extension 214, or visit noelartmuseum.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, September 14th, 2020. This is Section A, the front page. This article is entitled, "The Golden Whisk Opens Storefront After Years of Home Baking," by J.C. Lewis. Cinnamon rolls, ooey gooey bars, jars with banana pudding or strawberry cake, quiche, and plenty of decorated sugar cookies fill the display cases at the Golden Whisk Bakery. The local bakery opened in August at 3211 Wadley Drive, Suite 5. Owner Lacey Bavasette said she has been baking her entire life, but started baking professionally and making customized sugar cookies a few years ago. She said she decided to open a storefront because she has always wanted to own her own business. "I was a home cottage baker before and started with sugar cookies, then started making cakes," she said. "I had done some other things, including the supper club for people in the Facebook group. I've been doing the sugar cookies for about 4 years now." She is originally from Kermit, but moved to Midland in 2004 and worked in human resources. Bavasette said she had been planning the bakery for a year and had started construction when the pandemic began. The bakery opened August 15th. There is seating for people to sit and enjoy their baked goods and drinks like coffee and sweet tea. She said they also serve lunch items as well. "We are currently taking orders for the holidays for any goodies people might need," she said. The Golden Whisk also fulfills custom orders for cookies, cakes, and other baked goods. "One of the best sellers has been the ooey gooey bars, which are a Paula Deen recipe," she said. "The bakery has 3 culinary arts trained bakers to fulfill orders." Bavasette said there is no order too difficult for the team. This is the local and state page. This article is entitled, "Lawmakers. Governor Abbott developed plan to expand broadband access," by Aria Jones, Texas Tribune. As the COVID-19 pandemic has exacerbated existing disparities related to high-speed internet access in Texas, a bipartisan group of state lawmakers asked Governor Greg Abbott on Friday to develop a plan to expand broadband access in the state. "Texas is well overdue for a state broadband plan, and we believe the state needs to begin the process of creating one immediately," the 88 lawmakers wrote in a letter to Abbott's office. They said the need can't wait until the 2021 session of the Texas legislature. Access to broadband has become even more important during the coronavirus pandemic, as social distancing has prompted remote learning at schools and remote working for many offices. More than 800,000 rural Texans don't have adequate broadband infrastructure, however. According to data and maps produced by Connected Nation Texas and cited by the lawmakers in the letter. As broadband speeds increase, the number of rural communities that get left behind also increases, they said. People who are less likely to have internet connectivity are poor, elderly, rural, speak English as a second language, or have less education. And that hasn't changed since the 1990s, said Larry Irving, the former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Communications and Information and former administrator of the National Communications and Information Administration. Irving spoke about the digital divide during a panel at this month's Texas Tribune Festival. What's gone from an inconvenience, maybe, and a problem has gone to. Your life has changed dramatically if you're not connected, Irving said. And we still have over 5 million households nationwide that aren't connected because they're rural, and over 20 million households that aren't connected because they simply can't afford a connection. He said not being connected to the internet reduces people's chances of social distancing, having good health, educating their children, finding a job, and running a business. People, including the elderly, may have to go out to see a doctor or shop because they don't have access to telemedicine. About 25% of people over 65 years old don't have access to broadband internet, Irving said. Who are the people in America who are most susceptible to this pandemic? Who are the people in America who we want to keep socially distanced? They're all senior citizens, he said. And children who don't have internet access are disproportionately underachieving or at underachieving schools, Irving said. We may lose a year or more of children's education because we didn't make the investment 4, 5, 6 years ago, and we should have, and connect every home in America to broadband internet. In 2019, the legislature created the Governor's Broadband Development Council to research barriers to broadband and study possible solutions. Abbott has also partnered with the Texas Education Agency to form Operation Connectivity, which has helped to provide mobile hotspots and e-learning devices for students and families transitioning to remote learning. The lawmakers praised those efforts, but stressed, "We fear that rural communities are continuing to be left behind." For example, Operation Connectivity's plan primarily benefited those households with broadband infrastructure and/or cellular availability, the letter said. Many rural students live in areas where neither broadband nor cellular service is available. Students, families, and schools in rural communities without this critical infrastructure were left to address the situation on their own. It is also our understanding that the Governor's Broadband Development Council is not charged with developing a state broadband plan, which is an important first step in closing the digital divide in Texas. The two top signers of the letter were rural Republicans, State Representative Trent Ashby of Lufkin and State Senator Robert Nichols of Jacksonville. But the list included members of both parties from urban, rural, and suburban areas. To establish broadband across the state, the lawmakers want the governor to establish a timeline with clear goals to measure progress. They are asking the governor to create regional plans that incorporate unique challenges across the state that also support existing planning entities. They also want state plans to encourage collaborations across government entities, evaluate existing assets and institutions, to support the deployment of broadband and assess future needs for access across the state. The lawmaker said 44 other states and Puerto Rico have enacted plans to develop broadband infrastructure. They said the development could be supported by funding from the Coronavirus Relief Fund. And while the federal guidance for use of the funds is unclear, other states have used them to plan for broadband. Texas should consider leveraging this or other funding to jumpstart the planning process, the letter said. The governor's office didn't immediately return a request for comment on the letter.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, September 14th. Fulbright offers AEC teacher a chance to network. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Reynaldo Duran is looking forward to networking with colleagues from around the world through a Fulbright grant. Recipients are selected on the basis of academic and professional achievement, as well as record of service and demonstrated leadership potential. The Fulbright program is the flagship international educational exchange program sponsored by the U.S. government and was created to increase mental understanding and build lasting connections between the people of the United States and the people of other countries. Quote, "This program actually invites teachers here in America who would help promote global education. So actually the main purpose is for us to connect with international teachers and then make that collaboration happen in our classroom, school, and hopefully in the district," Duran said. He added that the award validates what is being done at the Alternative Education Center. Quote, "My participation in this fellowship would actually allow me to network with more teachers, particularly with teachers in those countries that I have chosen. I have chosen South Africa and Europe," he said. When Duran found out that he had received the grant, he first communicated with Alternative Education Center principal Adam Portillo and Don Westby, the counselor who helped him with recommendations. Quote, "I can't think of anyone more deserving for this monumental award than Mr. Duran," Portillo said. "He's always seeking innovative approaches to engage our students. Therefore, our students collaborate with students from different parts of the world and recognize the differences and similarities in our public education experiences. Mr. Duran is a valuable asset to the Alternative Education Center, ECISD, and to this community, and I know he will represent ECISD and our country very well," end quote. Duran said he and fellow recipients were set to start training online this month until December. A symposium was planned for Washington, D.C. The program usually lasts for a year. A native of Dapitan City on Mindanao in the Philippines, Duran is in his fifth year as a math teacher at the Alternative Education Center. He has taught for 14 years around the region and in North Carolina. Originally, Duran applied for a special education position, and they made him an English teacher. Quote, "I asked if I could be moved back to math because that's my thing," he said. Having received most of his education in the Philippines, Duran said it was the only course his parents could afford at the time. He has a bachelor's degree in math, a master's degree in math, and a doctorate in special education, all from the Philippines. He has a master's degree in deaf education from Texas Tech University, and is currently working toward his licensed professional counselor from Lamar University. Quote, "At first it was survival, now it's love," he said. "I really like teaching out here. If you talk about life, this is life. I invite everyone to experience stuff that we're doing here. They will see that life is not constrained, it's unlimited. You see a lot of stuff here that would really make you grow. After here, I would not be the same person wherever I go," end quote. Currently, Duran's assignment is high school, grades 9 through 12, but he has taught middle school previously. He enjoys seeing his students smile and feels gratified when he can contribute something. If he sees improvement, it's a win for him. Quote, "It just gives you that fulfillment of why you are here," Duran said. He and his wife, Mary Lou Jane, have two children. She teaches English at Ector College Prep Success Academy.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, September 12th, 2020. Scholarships. Consulado de Carrera de Mexico Scholarship. Midland College has entered into an agreement with the Consulado de Carrera de Mexico to provide scholarships for the 2020-21 academic year to Mexicans and individuals of Mexican origin who are working and or studying in Midland. The scholarships will enable qualified students to participate in educational programs that facilitate their individual development and, in turn, provide an educated, skilled workforce for the Permian Basin. In July, MC officials received a letter from the Consul of Mexico in Presidio inviting the college to apply for the scholarship grant. The $12,000 grant is being awarded to MC in order to contribute in raising the educational levels of Mexicans and Mexican Americans living in the community. The grant is awarded by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Mexico and the Institute for Mexicans Abroad through the Consulate of Mexico in Presidio. For more information about the scholarship opportunity, call Josefina Samaguay at 432-686-4903 or Samaguey at midland.edu. Online Access Scholarships. Austin. Western Governors University, an online nonprofit and accredited university, is working to close the digital divide by providing online access scholarships to qualified students to help pay for high-speed internet access and technology. Thousands of dollars have been awarded to students in Texas and across the U.S., with many more scholarships still available. The scholarship is part of WGU's broader national initiative aimed at working with policymakers and private industry to give more Americans access to reliable internet in their homes. According to the Federal Communications Commission, an estimated 1.8 million Texans, most of them in rural areas, don't have high-speed internet access. And the Pew Research Center report released in May states that 44% of adults in households with annual incomes below $30,000 don't have broadband, 29% don't own a smartphone, and 46% don't have a traditional computer. At WGU Texas, our mission is to expand access and success to post-secondary opportunities by providing high-quality, affordable, competency-based education, Linda Battles, Acting Regional Vice President, said. Many low-income and rural students lack access to the internet and or technology, which can drastically hinder their ability to pursue an online credential. This scholarship removes these barriers. WGU Texas scholarship recipients Ashley Lemley, Petrina Love, and Rokisha Turner have seen firsthand that online education increases opportunities for those who complete their degree program. Each has overcome career and personal obstacles and are earning degrees in nursing, marketing management, and business administration. The online access scholarship has supported their access to broadband services. While pursuing her BSN, Petrina Love is working and parenting full-time. As the sole wage earner in her family due to furloughs, financial constraints could mean putting her education on hold and losing internet access. "I love being a nurse, and I love being able to finish school would allow me to work in other areas," she said. "I will continue to get where I am destined, and this scholarship helps me stay on track to become an RN and continue with my master's degree." WGU is attacking the digital divide problem on several fronts beyond the online access scholarship. These include a partnership with the National Governors Association to identify problems, resources, and solutions, advocating for policies that improve and expand the nation's digital infrastructure, and coalition building efforts that will help raise awareness of broadband inequities. An analysis from Microsoft suggests that the number of individuals without broadband internet access could be over 163 million Battles said. While WGU is committed to removing this barrier for many students with long and short-term solutions, we can't accomplish this alone. We need help from community partners and private industry to advocate for the expansion of infrastructure that makes broadband available to everyone. More information on WGU's online access scholarship is available at wgu.edu/access or by calling 385-428-3125.
This is Trish reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, September 15th, 2020. New Mexico taps federal funds to install ballot boxes. By Morgan Lee, Associated Press. Santa Fe, New Mexico. New Mexico is prepared to spend millions of dollars in federal recovery funds to install drop boxes for absentee ballots, as election regulators encourage voters to participate in the general election in ways that minimize human contact and reduce the risks of COVID-19 transmission. Secretary of State's office spokesman Alex Curtis on Monday said the agency is encouraging the state's 33 counties to install ballot drop boxes indoors and outside while offering reimbursement for expenses from a $6 million allotment of federal funds that also pays for personal protective equipment and publicity about voting. We will reimburse all those expenses, said Curtis, regarding drop boxes. We are definitely seeing that many but not all counties are interested in that. The administration of Democratic Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has urged voters through an emergency public health order to cast absentee ballots by mail while limiting the number of voters inside each polling location to 4 people or 25% of the building's capacity, whichever is greater.
The opinion page. Guest view. America's problem right now? It's always us against them. From the Dallas Morning News. Earlier this year, South African-born comedian Trevor Noah hit the heart of a serious problem hurting America right now. Nuance doesn't sell as well in America, Noah said in an interview with CBS. Nuance means you can't just take a stand and fight the other person. Nuance means we have to talk a little bit more. And until the American political system can find a way to represent the nuance that exists within America, you are going to create this false impression that there is this or that. In a nation divided sharply by ideology, it is easier for many of us to embrace absolutes over nuances. Unfortunately, we do it at our national peril. Political protest and debate are cherished and essential elements of a functioning democracy. A society that views nearly every issue as your team versus my team is proving to be more and more difficult in an increasingly polarized nation. And the list of polarizing issues is inexhaustible. Masks and COVID-19, immigration, gun safety versus gun owners' rights, and the increasingly dangerous perception that stridence for racial justice is the same as advocating racial violence or special preferences. These aren't one and the same, and rhetoric that conflates issues distracts from dealing with the core of the problem, which in the case of protests are the issues that drove demonstrators to the streets. Too often, the political call for justice becomes a binary choice. On one side, the narrative is either you support the protests or you're against social justice. And on the other side, the narrative is that protesters and those who would incite violence are the same. Neither is right. Most people, including the majority of peaceful protesters, are against destroying property and resorting to violence. And all of us should favor recognizing and respecting the civil rights of all people and the rights of people to peacefully protest for those rights. Another example of this binary division can be found in a new Dallas Morning News, University of Texas at Tyler survey conducted in late August and early September. Just 15% of Democrats support deploying the military in response to protests, compared with 70% of Republicans. On the use of tear gas and rubber bullets against confrontational protesters, 26% of Democrats asked in the survey supported those tactics versus an overwhelming 82% of Republicans. Common sense should tell us that there are few absolutes in life. To pretend so edges out what this nation needs the most at this time: critical reasoning and interpretation that leaves room to decipher complicated realities and reach solutions. However, when difficult situations are reduced to my right position and your wrong position, conflict and gridlock are inevitable, since there is no leeway for a third way. Failing to address the nuances of complex ideas enables reflexive groupthink. Instead of justice and progress, gridlock, frustration, and incivility become the order of the day, and reforming the system to better protect basic civil rights for all gets swept away in the chaos.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, September 7th, 2020. This is the opinion page. This column is called Guest View. It is entitled "Naturally Acquired Herd Immunity is a Terrible Strategy." From the Star Tribune, Minneapolis. The controversial appointment of a new presidential medical advisor has put a national spotlight on a radical disease management concept to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. Its benign name, Naturally Acquired Herd Immunity, belies the cruelty at the heart of this approach. A better descriptor would be "Do Nothing and Let the Virus Kill Off the Weak" plan. Eventually, COVID-19 would stop spreading because there would be enough survivors of the infection, the herd, and they presumably would have some immune system protection against the pathogen. But this could come at an unacceptable cost, potentially millions of deaths in those with underlying health conditions that make them susceptible to severe infection. Last week, the new White House medical advisor, Dr. Scott Atlas, forcefully pushed back on reports that he is advocating policies rooted in this approach. The neuroradiologist said this is an overt lie during a Tuesday CNN interview. That rejection is welcome. While other countries have considered variations of this strategy, or even pursued it unsuccessfully, letting the virus run its course is a deeply flawed approach. It should not be taken seriously by the nation's policymakers, especially with the rapid strides underway in vaccine development. A safe, effective vaccine would provide population-wide protection. Experts are hopeful that one could be widely available in 2021. But if there are setbacks, herd immunity should not be considered a fallback approach. While herd immunity persists as a social media talking point and was recently mentioned by President Donald Trump in an interview, leading infectious disease doctors in Minnesota and elsewhere do not support the naturally acquired herd immunity approach. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the venerable director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, told Politico this week that neither he nor White House advisor Dr. Deborah Birx backed this strategy. The Infectious Diseases Society of America, or IDSA, which represents over 12,000 physicians and scientists, told an editorial writer this week that IDSA is not supportive of the herd immunity approach to addressing this pandemic. Experts at the Mayo Clinic and the University of Minnesota are critical. One fundamental concern, said Mayo's Dr. Pritesh Tosh, is that it's not clear how long immune protection lasts in people who have been infected with COVID. Protection from other viruses in the same family isn't long-lasting, he said. Yet assuming otherwise for COVID-19 is at the heart of the naturally acquired herd immune strategy, and that's an assumption I don't think we can make, he said. The University of Minnesota's Dr. Tim Shacker called naturally acquired herd immunity a terrible strategy, noting the potentially huge cost to human life for an approach that may or may not work. Shacker also rejected one rationale for herd immunity that the vulnerable could simply isolate. High blood pressure, obesity, and underlying health concerns that increase the risk of severe COVID are common. Putting an indefinite bubble around everyone with these conditions, along with the elderly, isn't doable. Both Tosh and Shacker also noted that those who are infected and recover from COVID may have serious long-term complications. One concern, heart damage. The case against naturally acquired herd immunity is strong. There are those who still may embrace it because they believe it would bolster the economy. But the evidence for this is weak. Sweden, which relied on a voluntary COVID containment with the aim of developing herd immunity, has fared better economically than some European Union countries, but has the highest unemployment rate among Nordic nations. Sweden also came in eighth in a recent global ranking of mortality rates per million, further evidence of the high and unacceptable price tag inherent in this herd immunity approach. This column is distributed by Tribune Content Agency.
Hello, this is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Sunday, September 13th, 2020. Other Voices. Law enforcement and first responders, thank you. By State Representative Brooks Landgraf. On September 11th, 2001, Americans were united to an extent that had not been seen since the 1940s and has not been seen since. As a country, we were mourning the loss of thousands of innocent lives, men, women, and children whose breath was snuffed out by acts of unimaginable terrorism. We were united by our shared grief and a renewed purpose. American flags began popping up in front yards, and lines formed in military recruitment offices across the nation. In the days after September 11th, 2001, thousands of brave men and women, including a large contingency from West Texas, felt a calling to enlist in the armed forces to take the fight overseas. Their courage and extreme sacrifice will never be forgotten. When the nation was in peril, they answered the call. But our military was not the first line of defense. When planes started dropping out of the sky on that September morning, firefighters, police, and EMS mobilized. These heroes, our first responders, ran into the fire and smoke to do what they do every single day, risk their lives to save others. For these reasons and more, the Texas legislature designated September 11th as Texas First Responders Day. Given the current political discourse, I cannot imagine a more important year to genuinely acknowledge and thank our first responders for their selfless service, especially when it comes to law enforcement. To all of you who put yourselves in harm's way to serve and protect complete strangers, thank you. As a member of the House Select Committee on Mass Violence Prevention and Community Safety, I'm well aware of the threats that gangs, terrorist groups, and lone wolf shooters pose to Texans. I'm also aware that Texans are far more likely to lose their lives due to domestic disputes and distracted driving than to acts of mass violence or terror. Regardless of whether the threat is an angry spouse, a truck driver under the influence, or an active shooter, our police officers, sheriffs, and state troopers are the ones answering the call to keep us safe. That is why I adamantly oppose any proposal to defund law enforcement at the local or state level. I certainly believe in accountability and transparency for every tax dollar spent and recognize the need for certain reforms, but the primary role of government is to protect the lives and property of its people. Effective law enforcement and a strong military are necessary to achieve this most basic function of government. As your state representative, I will fight to ensure sufficient resources are available to enforce the rule of law here in Texas. God bless Texas. Brooks Landgraf. Landgraf serves House District 81, which encompasses Andrews, Ector, Ward, and Winkler counties. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 15th, 2020. Opinion. Guest view. A request. Keep a pandemic diary by Connie Schultz. Since April, I've been telling my students that their generation will be the ultimate storytellers of this pandemic, as COVID-19's legacy will surely endure for decades. This semester, I've taken it a step further and required them to keep pandemic diaries. Their weekly 500-word entries will help me gauge their writing progress and give me glimpses into how they are doing in this challenging time. Just as importantly, they will create a written record of who they were in their lives and in this time in history. The seeds for this idea sprouted during my reading of Eric Larson's outstanding new book, The Splendid and the Vile, A Saga of Churchill, Family, and Defiance During the Blitz. Early in Larson's book, he mentions the Mass Observation, an organization launched in Britain 2 years before the war that recruited hundreds of volunteers to keep daily diaries with the goal of helping sociologists better understand ordinary British life. Once World War II broke out, the diaries created a treasure trove of historical accounts in the country's darkest hours. Eager to learn more about these diaries, I hunted down Simon Garfield's 2005 book, We Are at War, The Remarkable Diaries of Five Ordinary People in Extraordinary Times. The book begins in 1939 and ends a year later with the Battle of Britain and the start of the Blitz. It is an, quote, invaluable record of quiet lives transformed by events far beyond their control, Garfield writes. Quote, the reason why I am keen on mass observation, one 28-year-old man wrote, quote, is because it wants to know and inform, tell all classes about the emotion, acts, thoughts, and struggles of the ordinary, average man and woman. Too many articles and books are on high-flown subjects. There are none about the prosaic things of every day. A 41-year-old woman wrote, quote, we all feel under pressure of work that our language is becoming stronger and our manners less polite. Another woman, aged 37, quote, absent-mindedness and poor memory seem rife. Mr. Mitchell and I both find the same thing, that the strained atmosphere has upset our sense of time. An hour seems like a day, and a day like a week. The month of August seems to have lasted for decades. The longer this pandemic drags on, the more I see the value in writing about the daily mess of life, regardless of our age. Writing helps us sort out how we are changing, but it also allows us to see what parts of us remain. Life, in its minutiae, is what distinguishes our experience from everyone else's. The public historical record will help us remember the day schools closed, for example, or when our governor ordered all residents to wear masks. But how did we feel the day the death toll hit 1,000, 10,000, 180,000? Who were we on day 60, day 90? When did we first become afraid? How did we find our courage? If you'd like to keep a pandemic journal and wonder where to start, how about here with this question? Who am I today in the final days of summer? Or my student's first diary prompt? How is my life different now? As the diaries of British citizens make clear, one keeps on living. We grow vegetable gardens and try new recipes. We return to long dormant hobbies or finally make time to learn new ones. Zoom and FaceTime are now lifelines to those we love. My daughter often smiles and shakes her head at me as I silently watch her young children do what little kids do. They draw and color giant pictures, make glorious messes of their faces as they eat, and talk in imaginary voices as they play with the dollhouse. As long as you're willing to hold up your phone, I tell her, I'm going to watch them. I study them for signs of growth, every little change that is happening without me. Later, I write it all down in my pandemic diary, because I want them to know I was still watching and that hundreds of miles are no distance at all for a loving heart. And if I write it all down, maybe one day I will feel the warmth of my grandson's hand on mine as we share a memory of life during the pandemic. Your kite? I'll say. Of course I remember your kite. You were four. It was a hot sunny day, but you wore your Batman boots as you ran so fast round and round the giant tree. I thought that kite might lift you up into the sky. I remember, I will tell him, I was there. Connie Schultz is a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist and professional in residence at Kent State University's School of Journalism. She is the author of two nonfiction books, including And His Lovely Wife, which chronicled the successful race of her husband, Sherrod Brown, for the U.S. Senate. She is also the author of the New York Times best-selling novel, The Daughters of Erie Town. To find out more about Connie Schultz, schultz.connie@gmail.com. That's schultz.connie@gmail.com. And read her past columns, please visit the Creators Syndicate webpage at www.creators.com.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. HSV doesn't need to doom love life. Dear Dr. Roach, I am 57 and finally divorced my cheating husband a year ago. Now that I am interested in dating again, I went for a consultation and exam with my gynecologist, complete with STD testing. I am in excellent health and all tests were negative except the one I feared, herpes, both oral and genital. I am not only upset, but also confused because neither I nor any of my partners have ever had any lesions or cold sores. I have had terrible canker sores since childhood, but thought they were related to food allergies. I have eliminated most trigger foods to avoid the discomfort, but could they be related to the herpes? Maybe 3 times a year, I have a tiny, smaller than 1 centimeter, red spot on my labia that I am aware of only when I urinate. I guess I am doomed with the herpes virus. So my question and concern is about future relations. I understand that antibiotics are not effective, but has there been no advancement in preventing the spread of herpes? I am not suffering physically. It is the fear of not finding a future partner willing to risk intimacy with me that is most concerning. Anonymous. Answer. A positive blood test for herpes is a pretty strong evidence of past infection. It could have been from any time in your life when you have had intimate relations. Most people with genital herpes are not aware they have it and can spread the virus and therefore be infectious, even with no symptoms. However, people with active herpes infection, blisters or ulcers, are much more infectious. There are 2 types of herpes vaccines in development. The first is the traditional vaccine to prevent getting the disease in the first place. One candidate vaccine was modestly successful in doing so, but did not last more than 16 months. No safe and effective vaccine for genital herpes is going to be available soon. A second type of vaccine is one to boost the immune system in people who already have HSV infection. One candidate vaccine reduced the number of outbreaks, and work is ongoing. Unfortunately, herpes simplex viruses are very good at evading the immune system.
Dear Abby, early lesson in social graces helps overcome initial shyness. Dear Abby, when I was a young adult, I had difficulty speaking with strangers. I recall, some years later, attending a party in honor of someone I truly admired. Most of the people there didn't know each other. Someone had the bright idea for each of us to tell how we knew the honoree. We went around the circle describing our connection to the person. This not only kept the spotlight on the honoree, but it was a great icebreaker. I found myself interested in several of the folks there, and it gave me fodder to follow up with questions for them when we began to mingle. I learned a valuable lesson that night. Curiosity is wonderful, and as you have pointed out, people like to talk about themselves. Now when I'm in a room full of strangers, I find it easier to smile and ask, "How do you know Susie?" or "What brings you to this event?" I'm no longer shy about attending gatherings where I won't know anyone. I actually like meeting new folks. Abby, thank you for your column and for offering your booklet that teaches people how to be more comfortable in social situations. I'm sure more than a few of your readers need it. Mixing and Mingling in Napa, California. Dear M&M, you're welcome. No one is born knowing how to be social. Social adaptness is a skill like any other. People don't have to be brilliant or a laugh riot. Part of being social, something you picked up on at that party, is the importance of showing an interest in other people. A smile is an excellent icebreaker, and part of being charming is being a good listener. Of course, you should cultivate your own interest so you will have something to add to a conversation. My booklet, How to Be Popular, contains many useful tips for polishing social skills for people of all ages, how to approach others, what to say, and what not to say. It can be ordered by sending your name and address, plus a check or money order for $8, U.S. funds, to Dear Abby Popularity Booklet, P.O. Box 447, Mount Morris, Illinois, 61054-0447. Shipping and handling are included in the price. Good conversationalists prioritize what others have to say rather than feel pressured to fill the air with the sound of their own voices. And remember, most people can focus on only one thing at a time, so forget about yourself and concentrate on the other person. If you try it, you'll find that it works like a charm. Dear Abby, why does my boyfriend always expect me to help him with his home repairs when I don't live there and don't plan to for a long while? I live in my own house, and I don't ask him to come help me fix a downed fence. How should I handle the situation? Fixin to argue in Texas. Dear Fixin, do not argue. If you prefer not to help your boyfriend with his home repairs, tell him you have other plans. And if you don't have any but don't want to be conscripted, make some. Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Virgo and a moon in Virgo. Happy birthday for Wednesday, September 16, 2020. Big-hearted, brave, and indomitable. You live a big life. This year, you become the leader. Success is all around you, and as long as you don't bug authority too much, you'll succeed brilliantly. If single, you choose to stay alone for a while longer, but next May you meet someone. If attached, you'll work with your partner, resulting in mutual achievement. Your bond becomes closer. Cancer handles money the best. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. Today brings a turning point in an ongoing health challenge. Yogic breathing techniques can be especially healing. Explore the ways breathing can release stress and toxins. Wellness and strength begin a long-term improvement. Tonight, be receptive to new ideas. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. Changes and surprises lead to a turn for the better in matters of the heart. Today promises bliss concerning a special someone. Social situations glow with happiness. Enjoy a reprieve. Tonight, your partner might be moving in a new direction. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. Appliances at home may go on the fritz. There may be communication mishaps with parents or other family members, but there are new opportunities related to your home life. It's time for a new beginning. Tonight, starting a new project. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. You're busy moving about from place to place, handling chores and thinking about matters from the past. Siblings, other relatives, or neighbors play a role. Your mental abilities are strong today, and you have an emotional need to reinvigorate your studies. Tonight, emails. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. You feel the sense of abundance today. You expand your horizons with a new purchase or new money arrives. You are in a fortunate position, but don't overextend yourself. Trust your hunches and turn in a new direction. Tonight, catch up with a family member. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. You react emotionally to a personal issue, but then you get recharged. Your face is in the public. The way you see yourself now is the way others see you. you gain insight into your feelings. Tonight, exactly as you like it. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. It's a good day to work behind the scenes. Hide your moodiness from others. Take time to reflect and meditate. Unconscious attitudes can be difficult. Things from the past, even your childhood, play a role. Tonight, indulge in some private journaling. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. You're innovative and creative and communicate well today. Enjoy the harmony, beauty, and pleasures of life. Your popularity is on the rise. Your imagination is keen. Ease up on routines and spread your good news. Tonight, dance like no one's watching. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. It's a good day for gaining recognition. You're in the public eye now. You get along with fellow workers and are much admired. You have a strong desire for high achievement through hard work, and others respect your efforts. Tonight, networking online. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. You're full of ideas today on matters such as higher learning, publishing, or the law. You have an interest in foreign travel. It's a good time to look to the big picture. Tonight, break away from routine and the usual way you think about things. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. You investigate something that's on your mind. You look deep for answers. You could be exploring the larger mysteries of life. Secrets, intrigue, and confidential information play a role. Go with the flow. Tonight, maintaining your emotional and psychic balance. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. New opportunities come your way related to a partnership, marriage, or friendship. You have a lot of energy to pursue whatever you're working on with a partner. You reach out to a variety of people and present yourself well. Tonight, you are charming and magnetic. Born today, singer-songwriter Nick Jonas, 1992, musician B.B. King, 1925, comedian Amy Poehler, 1971.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.